Everyone, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that we're invited to enter into his plan. His plan loves us. His plan wants to include us. God has great things in store. The only way we receive it is to take him at his word, believe it, and act on it. He gave us his only begotten son, a treasure, a blessing. When we believe on Jesus Christ, we enter the living plan of God. A lot of people want to know, what is God's plan for my life? The first part is be saved. Believe on Jesus Christ. What am I saved from? You're saved from the soon coming wrath of God. You're saved from the destruction of the world, of the world system. Now, I'm not talking about the earth. The earth is going to be here forever. It's not going to be destroyed. The sun is going to be here forever. And Jesus is going to reign here. You don't have to worry about the earth being destroyed. The earth is going to be fine. And all the things that happen to it, it's going to end up fine. And the meek shall inherit the earth. That scripture can't be broken. When you're in the plan of God, you start living according to the will of God, which is a treasure. A lot of times people don't know how the love of God works in their favor. The Lord will not do you wrong. He is a king. We must learn to see God as a king. He's not a president. Presidents get voted in and then their time expires. God, his time will never expire. And his ways are so perfect. When you take time and learn them, they start working in your life. But the way of Satan is opposite, and it cannot work. It feeds off what is. Satan's ways, it feeds off what is. God's way produces what is. The love of God produces. Satan's ways uses. And people attracted to it because they want to attain something without working for it. God's system says, if you're going to, whoever is the greatest will be the greatest servant. In other words, people go to school and they work hard and learn to be a doctor so that they can serve mankind. Some people want a good job so that they can make money. But some people, the real doctors have their heart in it and they want to help mankind. So whatever your profession is, when you're in it to serve people and make life better here, that's the kingdom of God. That's how God works. And did you know some people have that heart, but they don't trust Jesus as their Savior? Why? Man is made in God's image. But through sin, man runs from God. When Adam got in sin, he ran from the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day. Sin is an entrapment, and we're born in it. I'm not calling anybody a wicked people when I say sinners. Sinners are people who are born in sin, disconnected from God, so they really don't know what they're running from. But I'm here to tell you, when you get to know the Lord, he's good, and his mercy endures forever. His ways are righteousness. And righteous. The Lord left heaven. He loves us so much. We're running from him. He said, I want to save them. He left heaven, became a man, and legally saved us. Now, on other broadcasts, I explained why he had to do this. He's keeping covenant with himself and with Adam and with Abraham. He has to do things according to covenant. God keeps rules. He's not a rule breaker. He don't make rules and then break them like we do. He's better than that. If you study the scriptures and how everything happened, God perfectly kept covenant to save us. And he became one of us, lived among us, taught us, and then he died for us, he rose again, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. The Lord will not play you. He's out for your best interest. When you fall in love with him, you learn that. And there are many good people that are outstanding, but sin is already judged. If we don't get saved, we're already judged. When you die, that's it. And the enemy is full of deception. If you like anything that he likes, he's got some deception ready for you. And he knows how you think because he knows how your family thought. He's been playing mankind all along. But I'm here to put an end to it. The Lord told me, don't let not my people lack knowledge. He showed me a vision saying, let not my people lack knowledge. And everywhere I go, I look to the Lord to help me do that commission, to help people not lack knowledge. Now, it's very important that we treasure the wisdom of God. Because when we treasure the wisdom of God, we won't miss out on things. God loves us. Now, we're still dealing with end times. But in this chapter of end times, he's dealing with the tares of the field. He's showing us the difference between the tares and the wheat and what he's going to do with the tares. The Lord is king, and he can't let something interrupt his kingdom. So he's going to do something. It's time for him now to do something about the tares, and it's begun. Now, last week we talked about how God loves the tares. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, it says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. If the Lord didn't love the tares, just like he loved his own, just like he loves everyone, he wouldn't have gave Jezebel a space of time to repent. Now, Jezebel was the wife of Ahab, the literal Jezebel. But they were doing the same thing she was doing. She was pushing idolatry. Idolatry is just like fornication. And adultery. If a woman's married to a man and she sleeps with other people, she's an adulterer. Or if a single woman just sleeps around, she's an adulterer. And the same thing for a man. Well, when you turn against the law and look to other religions, that's fornication and adultery too. It's just spiritual fornication and spiritual adultery. Now, as kind as he is, he gave her a space of time to repent so he wouldn't have to judge her, teaching false information. The enemy will take advantage of your focus if it's not on the Lord. In Matthew, it says, if the eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, if you're looking to the Lord and you're learning his ways, you get strength. And then you can reject the ways of the world, the wickedness. And then you can live without the oppression of Satan and without the entrapment of sin. A lot of sin will entrap you. You can't rest unless you do it some more. There's no peace to the wicked. When you choose to do wrong and you know what's right, it gets worse. And don't think one day, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do now, and then later on I'm going to believe on Jesus and go to heaven. Well, by the time that happens, it'll probably take a miracle, because sin hardens the heart and it weakens your will. There are some people, they know what's right, but they love what's wrong, and now they're trapped. They wish they could come back, but they're in trap, and they don't know how. And they'll need deliverance. They'll need an anointing to break the yoke. And they'll have to cry out to God. I've seen people do this. Now, the Lord loves everybody. And he's given us life. And I take that life serious. And he's calling people to the ministry. One scripture says, many are called, but few are chosen. And I'm going to tell you why that is. It all goes back to the garden. God made a tree of life, and then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A man was supposed to eat off the tree of life, reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, sometimes God calls people to the ministry, but they won't do it that way. They got saved, they believed on Jesus, the Lord called them to the ministry. But instead of endeavoring to learn God's ways and then reject the evil ways of the world, they let themselves get weak, which they didn't learn God's ways. And then if they start being tempted by the world and don't do anything about it, eventually they're going to start trying it. And then a logic will form. And they end up teaching falsely, just like Jezebel did. They were called, but they weren't chosen. God can't give them an assignment, not in that condition. Because people don't start off, they're sown among the wheat. Some of them really do believe on Jesus. But they don't grow up, and they don't learn God's ways. They don't resist the devil so he can flee from them. See, you got to, the devil ain't going to flee from you unless you're subject first to God. You got to be right with the Lord. Then you got to resist him. And then he will flee from you. The Lord does tell Adam to eat off the tree of life and ignore the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't eat off it. Don't have anything to do with it. See, when the enemy comes with temptation, you need to take it seriously. Because it doesn't come to help you. It comes to destroy you and your house and everything that you're about. Everything that you love, it comes to destroy you, separate you from God, and cause you all the misery of hell. Just like when a person tried crack for the first time. The drug dealer wanted a slave. That's why they give you the crack free. They'll say, try this. To them, it's an investment because they know that you're going to be so messed up, you're going to do whatever it takes to buy drugs from them. And one detective told me that the average person on drugs, back then in the 90s, they spend $70,000 a year on drugs. And most of them don't even have a job. They find a way to get those drugs. That's how sin works. If a person drinks beer, they don't have to have a job. They're going to get some beer and cigarettes. Because people are made in God's image. And when there's a will, there's a way. If you really want to do something, that is a way to do it, even if it's wrong things. But why not learn God and use those creative abilities to do something right, to do something positive? And you have to reject it. See, you can't ignore evil. You have to do something about it. You have to run it out of your life. I cried out to the Lord, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't want it. But things are tempting me, and I want to know, how do I win? How do Thurston do it? And he taught me things. And one thing he taught me, don't fear falling. And it changed my perspectives. In other words, I understood that he put me in control of my own destiny. He's not in control of it, and Satan can't be in control of it if I would be in control of it. The Word of God gives you the ability to stand. And you'll be in control of your own destiny, and the Lord will help you out. Your destiny is your business. God gave it to you. It's a gift from God. Your destiny is in your hands. You believe him, he will help you do whatever it is you want to do. The enemy is trying to take that from you and lie to you and persuade you with wrong. We don't need to let that happen. Now, we're about out of time for the radio part. But visit livingletterministries.com. These broadcasts are longer than the radio broadcast. We go up to 30 minutes on the website. So visit newlivingletters.com and you can hear the rest of this broadcast. Now, the Lord gave Jezebel a space of time to repent. People can repent. But the way sin works, it's entrapment. It's designed to get you to stop you at your faith. If the enemy can get you out of faith, he can stop what you're doing. He's got to get you to choose to disobey God in order for his scheme to work. Pastor said that Satan has a scheme, but God has a plan. In order for the plan of God to work, you have to destroy Satan's scheme in your life. Now, there's a logic. When sin is formed in a person, their understanding and their logic changes. The false prophets and tares, they don't think like Christians do. They look for loopholes in the word. They look for a way to do what they want to do and still go to heaven. And then it gets in their teaching. And some ministers, they look at the numbers and they want to please the crowd and make the money. And they want to make it easy. The wisdom of God is easier than the bondage of Satan anyway. You don't have to make it easy. You don't have to lie. You don't have to lead people along with a carrot on a string to nowhere. Tell them the truth. They must choose the truth or they'll reject it. What they do is not your business. What they do is not in your control. Because the kingdom of God is a volunteer kingdom. You can enter it and you can leave it. Nobody's going to stop you if you want to leave it. And nobody should be able to stop you if you want to enter it. But the world will try to stop you from entering into the kingdom of God because the logic is off base. The false prophets don't care what happens to people in the future. If they believe a lie, they don't care if you believe a lie. If they trust the world system and they full of his lies and deceit, it's just a joke. Heaven is a joke to them, a fantasy. But those that love the living God are more certain. In 2 Peter chapter 2, now Peter informs us of things to come. Before I read chapter 2, I'm going to back up to chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." See, in the Old Testament, in the days before Jesus came, there were false prophets. They would say that God said something and he didn't. And they said what the people wanted to hear. And sometimes the people wanted them to speak, to preach smooth things and not the wisdom of God. They wanted to forget about God, just like they did in the first generation. Now, we read in Romans chapter 1 last week. Everybody need to study Romans chapter 1. Everybody. Because the enemy is playing humanity. Verse 1 again. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. J. Vernon McGee, I used to listen to him on the radio through the Bible in 5 years. He used to have a broadcast in the 80s and 90s. And sometimes, and they still got one somewhere. But, and then he died, but they still do the broadcast. But he said that false teachers are worse than false prophets. Because when your teaching is wrong, if you believe wrong teaching, it's hard to undo it. Because the wrong things get in your heart, and you have to unlearn all that and learn the Word of God. It's more complicated. It can be done, but it's just more complicated. It's better to just learn the truth in the first place, and you don't have that nagging thoughts of the old way rumbling around in your mind. False teaching is worse. Because if a prophecy don't come to pass, you just know that was a lying prophet. That was just an old lying false prophet. But when it can take a lifetime to figure out false teaching. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, just like it is today. Nowadays, from the White House on down, people are looking for alternatives. Anyway, verse 3, and through covetousness, shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. It's dangerous to alter the truth of God for gain. I know that when you're over people and you're looking at them, all these people, millions of people, half of them want something wrong, half of them want something right, some of them want both. It's not easy for a man to stand there and he's trying to please everybody. And that's what officials do. That's a heavy weight for a person to carry. You really have to be trained by the Holy Spirit to even do it in the first place. And I know the struggle. That's why we have to pray for the president. Whoever wins, you need to be praying for him. Because when you talk about a president, that's somebody that they need to be lifted up in prayer, not talked about. But when people do things that's wrong, it's going to go somewhere. It's not going to go away. And some things that were done should not have been done by a president. An alternative lifestyle will kill you. Now, when people, they've gotten themselves in a gay marriage, a man married a man, a woman married a woman, they got to die. That will be a stumbling block, keeping them partitioned away from God. And when they die, they have to go to hell. That lifestyle will cause them to reject God, and he can't save them. And these are people that God loves. These are people with potential. Sometimes these people are our own blood, our own children, cousins, friends, people that will help you, people that have helped you. I'd be a lousy friend if I ignored the fact and just acted like sin won't hurt you and acted like it was okay. It's not. Sin is already judged. Get out of it. If you're in that kind of situation, get out of it. Yeah, but that I'll lose everything I got. No, if you go to hell, that's when you lose everything you got. If you get out of that situation, if you get out of gay marriages and the wrong kind of relationship, adultery, and not just gay people, but if you fornicate, if you're an adulterer, if you do witchcraft, if you steal, get out of sin. All of it. God loves you. You're better than that. But false teachers, they want your money. They want your support. They want to be famous in your eyes. I don't want your money. I don't need attention. I want you to live forever. If anybody helped me in ministry, I thank God for them. But it'll be because that's what they want to do. I'm not compromising the word of God, and I never will. The Lord showed me a way to minister to the people all around the world with the internet. And it don't really cost much. But I love people. I'm not going to compromise my ministry. I want people to go to heaven. I'm not trying to get your vote. All right, continuing. Verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 2. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. See, this is very serious. God loves people. He don't want to have to destroy them, but he got to. You can't bring sin into heaven, into the kingdom of God. It's just not going to happen. No sin will enter the New Jerusalem. So either you're going to win, it's your best interest to win this fight and reject the way of darkness, because the Lord's not going to allow it up there and in the future. All right, but now he loves us, and his love runs deep. Uh-oh, we out of time. But the Lord is not. He will continue to teach those who draw near to him, who seek him, who want to know him. He loves us. He greatly loves us, more than I can express. I can't really do justice to the love of God, but I can tell you this, he loves us. You draw near to him, he will draw near to you. I know he will, because I drew near to him and he drew near to me. Now, till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.